Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, it is the big chill of 2015 already, if you're back east at all. Actually, the whole country is kind of chilly. But we're going to warm things up with a great guest, a great friend of ours, a guy that is a big promo voice and has lots of great stories and anecdotes about what it takes to be successful in our business. Roger Leopardi will be joining us in studio this Monday night.
Whittam's World, my open letter to engineers video is what I'm going to share this week, and it's about telling the engineers that it's okay to venture into the world of IP audio. It's not scary. Don't let the equipment get in the way. It's going to be fine.
And we'll answer your questions. And what's the email address for that?
You can send in your questions to ewabshop@gmail.com, and we're going to have the latest in VO news.
And send those into us, too. That's East West Audio Body Shop, Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And we'll see all of you in the chat room. We'll see all of you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Oh, a little splash of reality there. Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Yeah, it's been like snowing stink here for a couple of days.
Snow and stink. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
That's what my brother always says. But, you know, he's down on the waterfront. And he sees the wall of snow coming in. But... you know, but at least it isn't 7 feet like we had a couple, you know, back in November.
Yeah, no kidding.
But anyway, it is winter, and it is time for us voice actors to just hunker down in our studios here in the Northeast.
That's right.
And just tolerate it.
So do you hear anything in the background? Here, listen closely. I think my neighbor is DJing again.
Yeah,
I have an assistant with me today who came into the studio. Roger Leopardi here, ladies and gentlemen.
Just doing my part to help out.
Yes.
I forgot to close that window when I was up. So we need a second, Roger. Would you close that window over there?
Sure.
Because I think my mic's picking up the neighbor.
I'll be right back.
We're gonna have a more extensive conversation with Roger in just a little bit.
Yes. He's hanging out the whole night.
He's gonna hang out the whole night. And you know, we may call him in just, you know, for occasional comment here and there.
Yeah, he does have some stuff to say, I'm sure.
Never a lack of. Mm-hmm. But we do need to thank our sponsors tonight, of course, as we do every week. Harlan Hogan's Voiceover Essentials. Go over there, buy his stuff. Edge Studio, George's fabulous employer. Voice Zam, which we're going to talk about a little bit more. And Voiceover Extra. Read every last article that's in there. It doesn't hurt to read the good stuff. All righty. Well, as I said, we have Roger Leopardi with us tonight. We're going to have a fun time talking with him. But right now...
Time now to take a look at the news. EWAB's News.
All right. First news story of the night. Going right into it. We've got something from Voice... Oh, actually, this is from Simone Fugil. I hope I'm saying that right. This is so important for all Hispanic colleagues, she says. They finally have their own Spanish conference, and it will be part of VO Atlanta 2015 through March 14th. March 14th. So it starts, I guess, March 12th through the 14th.
Right.
So in other words, I guess if you want to attend VoiceOver Atlanta and you're a Latin or Hispanic or, you know, Spanish-speaking talent, this is a place for you to go. You're going to have your own track and, I guess, your own... there's going to be your own track that you can take on, I'm assuming, because I don't have more information right now, but that's pretty huge. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah. Well, now we'll have to get a report from her and see how it went. But it'll have to be in English.
I'll be there. I'll get an interview with her.
All right. Excellent. What else is going on in the news here? Oh, If you narrate audiobooks, which I know a ton of you do, please take a few moments to help our friends over at VoiceOver Extra gather anonymously trending data that specifically relates to you audiobook guys. I'm sure you'll be interested in the results. To our knowledge, there's no other source for this data about the audiobook narration business. And wouldn't you like to know general data about what other narrators specialize in or how they obtain work or how they're paid and more, if any? To participate in this survey, reply by January 31st, and you can begin the survey. Don't take it now, after the show. You got that link there, George?
I do. I'll post it up in the in one of the lower thirds for you guys to see.
Yeah. It's being jointly conducted by VoiceOver Extra, the VoiceOver Industry's online news training and resource center, and veteran voice actor audiobook narrator Jim Conlon. It's designed for you to answer quickly by multiple choice questions, and there's plenty of opportunity for you to additionally comment. But note your responses are anonymous, which is good considering some of the comments I threw in there about the audiobook industry. Of course, now they're ready to go, oh, this had to be Leonard. No question about it.
You know, when you have your own show and people hear you talk a lot, they start catching on to your own isms, you know. They start to become pervasive. They see you coming.
I went on a rant in that one. Anyway, but that's the EWAB's Look at the News.
And that's a look at the EWAB's news.
You know, we make it, you got to use it. Even though it's redundant, you still got to use it.
That's right. Well, I was trying to cue you, and I'm like, George, cue the end of the news thing.
I know, I was reading the next thing in the show notes.
Okay, maybe we should just like develop some hand signals.
I didn't rehearse. What can I tell you guys? Okay. Sorry, no rehearsal. Shooting the rehearsal tonight.
We didn't rehearse? Have we ever?
I missed the memo.
Oh, okay.
So viewer mail. Do you want me to start with the viewer mail?
Since this one talks about you, so
okay,
sort of, and you know him better than I do. So
from the viewer mailbag, Larson Bennett. Listening to Bo Weaver and others, it occurs to me that a larger, more open space with dissimilar walls is best for voiceovers. This is about acoustics.
Yeah,
something like the attached from George's commercial looks interesting. So he must have attached a file. Maybe I should find it.
Well, no, it's the commercial you have on the show where you've got the folding wings thing.
Oh, yes. What are your thoughts on that? Are those small vocal booths with all the foam too dead? I'm wondering if a little life in a not-so-confined space for a voiceover recording area wouldn't be a good thing. Also, what are your thoughts on rock wool versus foam? Wow. Okay. Well, without going into too much of a treatise on the topic of acoustics tonight, I will say, in general, I find the more pleasing-sounding acoustical spaces tend to be the larger spaces. This is generalizing, but if you are in a lot of the studios in L.A., they're rarely going to stick you in a little box in a little isolation booth. You're usually in a larger space, a more open space. It just has a more natural, pleasing sound, but it still needs a lot of acoustical treatment to be controlled. Otherwise,
a lot more acoustical treatment because it's a bigger room.
Yeah, so a big room tends to require a lot of treatment. Or there's a workaround, and that is you take a big room and you divide off a small portion of the room with acoustical panels. And we call them gobos or whatever, baffles. There's a lot of words for it. But that technique tends to work really, really nicely. If you're lucky enough to have a large room that's quiet enough, that doesn't have a lot of isolation problems with plumbing and dog barking and birds tweeting and choppers and all that stuff, then you can use a larger room. You don't have to go into a closet. You don't have to go into a whisper room. You don't have to go into an isolation booth if the room is quiet enough. And then you just close off a portion of the room. That one you saw in the opener, that was something custom that we made, that part of it is screwed to the wall with big door hinges. And when it's not being used, it folds back up against the wall, because that person didn't want the room to be dominated by the booth. They wanted to be able to kind of fold it away when they weren't using it. So that was a lot of fun to build. But you don't have to do something that elaborate. You just have to enclose a portion of the space. In regards to having unparalleled walls, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of voodoo that goes into acoustics. Most of the acoustics engineers will tell you, or designers, that I've consulted with or learned from have said, don't overcomplicate it with a lot of uneven surfaces and angles. It's really hard to predict the way a room is going to behave if it's not a rectangle. So it's generally best if you're building something, just start with a rectangle, because we can figure out how to treat that a lot easier. If there's random angles and things, it's far more difficult to figure it out. It's a lot more just pure luck. In regards to a little bit of life, yeah, I think you can. It's always better to err on the side of dead than live, because it's much easier to take the life and add it back into the sound with the processing, and that's what the producer does, than it is to remove it. And you're not going to probably make too many people, most people are going to be happy with what you're doing if you give them something that's a very dry, very dead and direct sound. That's kind of what they're expecting in voiceover. So I think it's hard to get it too dead. There's some exceptions, but it's rare. So don't worry about that being too dead, I don't think. And then Roger is working out of what kind of a space do you work out of? I mean, are you working in a larger room or out of a smaller booth space?
I'm working out of same thing I had at my house, a closet.
Yeah.
You know, I have my clothes hanging around and shoes everywhere, of course. But you know, like you're saying, I mean, it's really more about a controlled sound than it is this dead enclosed sound. And that also, you know, somebody doesn't necessarily want, because that tends to become more bassy and kind of, you know, this woominess around
you.
Yeah,
it does tend to get boomy sounding.
You know,
yeah.
I like just like you're saying, you know, I mean, if you look, again, you look at music throughout history, and you know, the stuff that we love watching, rock and roll specials and stuff like that, these guys have oriental rugs clamped up on things just to kind of break off these little sections in these open rooms, so not to kill the room, but it still needs a little liveliness. But that liveliness isn't in reverberation, it's just in ableness to breathe.
Yeah, we might call it ambience or ambience or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, because if you go ahead and you go like and you close it in like this, then all of a sudden you've got this sound all around you, and you know.
Yeah, that's not necessarily good either.
No,
because then you start sounding like maybe like you're an old, you know, 70s radio host or something, yeah. And that's right. Probably not a good thing. I don't want to talk too much longer. We could talk forever on this, but foam versus rock wool. I always lean towards rock wool or any kind of that. I'm not a big foam fan. But if it's all you can get and all you can fit, foam works, but rock wool for the win.
All righty. Taylor Stoney asks, well, she says, subject, big fan. I can feel the breeze all the way over here. Dan and George, I'm a short-time listener to your podcast, but a big fan already. I watched your most recent episode, and I noticed over George Left's shoulder is a Chaotica eye ball. Have you ever spoken about that before? Well, she's new. And how to best use it. I bought one for my personal professional voiceover studio, and I love it. But I wanted to make sure that I was using it correctly for my voice. If you're interested, I have 3 voice tracks where I used it, which can be found using VoiceAmm, and there's the link. Now, can you play one of those? And I'm going to show you something that you should not do when sending a sample somewhere.
So you want me to? You want me to play one of these demos?
Yeah, if you can.
All right. I'll give it a shot. Hang on just a second here. Looks like it's auto-playing. So let me re-cue it here. Let me make sure we don't have this turned on. Turn that off. Because otherwise we'll hear an echo. And let's see what we got.
Whoever said you can't have it all never drove a Mercedes C-Class. With more sophistication, more power, and more luxury than ever before, it's everything you imagine an automobile could be.
Okay.
Test drive a seat.
Got it.
All right. When sending a sample for someone to test your room, don't put music behind it because, you know, it's going to hide things. When we get audio, we really want to hear exactly what you sound like in that room. We don't want any distractions. We don't want anything that's going to make it, you know, because I can't really tell how good that's working. I mean, I heard a little bit of what was going on, and I've expressed my opinion about the eyeball. You know, it's like, I guess if it's an emergency or something, you can probably use something like that. But
it works in some cases, some of the time.
Don't use it in an atrium.
For what the thing costs, you can buy a hell of a lot of moving blankets for the cost of a ball and get much, much better sounding results, in my opinion. But others have said Cliff Zelman, a good friend of ours, has really impressed with it. I mean, it works great in his room, in his context, with the mics that he uses.
The kind of stuff he does.
Yeah. And so much of that has to do with the level of projection you're using. You know, exactly. Because we can be in a room that's not treated at all. And if we're just going like this, chances are we can get a good sound out of it. We can find a way. As long as we don't have a bunch of noise, we're not going to get the bounce off the walls because we're not projecting enough for it to do that.
Right. It's energy.
Relative to that.
Yeah. A lot of what people don't understand about sound is really related to how much energy you're putting out.
Right.
If you're projecting and putting a lot of energy in, the room has to deal with that energy. It bounces around. The Chaotica is trying to contain the energy. It's what it's doing. Mm-hmm. But it also does change the sound of the mic a lot.
Yeah.
It builds at the bottom end and kind of gives it that sort of, like you were saying earlier, that sort of enclosed kind of bottom heavy sound, which isn't always going to be what you want. Yeah. So
plus it's surrounding an expensive microphone and really screwing around with the acoustics that those companies spent millions of dollars developing.
Yeah.
The acoustics.
It's true. So. It's basically acoustically modifying a mic.
Yeah.
And if the mic works better with it.
What is it, like a giant windscreen?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's.
It's the here, show them. It's this thing.
I mean,
You shove the mic into this thing so it would be inside.
Okay.
And the mic would be inside that chamber.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of a cylinder of foam.
Yeah.
I mean, they put a lot of effort into designing it. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
yeah.
But it's still going to dramatically change the response of the mic.
Right.
So, you know, it's not going to work for everything.
Yeah.
So that's your questions for this week. And send them in if you have a question. Maybe you missed something over the last 172 episodes. You can write to us here at ewabshop@gmail.com. As you can see, we actually read the mail.
We do. We
personally.
Do. And we don't get overwhelmed. People might think that, they'll never get to our question. No, we really only get a couple of weeks. So if you write it in, very good chance we're going to answer it. So go for it.
All righty. Well, it's time to go into the first break, and we're going to do something live here.
Oh, right.
Because looking into the chat room here, I need you to – and George, you've got to pay attention here. And write down some names here.
Oh, maybe, crap, right? I don't have any
Or maybe Anthony can do it since he's monitoring the chat room.
Is he really?
He is.
Yeah, Anthony's back. Yay.
All right. Yeah, good to have him back. Raise your hand in the chat room if you use VoiceZam. Of course, now they're all raising their hands. I can't see you. But
it takes 30 seconds, remember.
Just say, and.
We got to wait for the buffer. Yeah.
In 30 seconds, we'll be hearing it. So 30 seconds, they'll catch up.
Exactly.
Anyway. Well, if you haven't heard of this product, raise your hand if you use VoiceZam. If you haven't heard of it, it's changing the way voiceover talent are presenting their demos. We were just showing it just a second ago. And by the way, I use VoiceZam on my own website. And it's true. It's actually pretty cool. I mean, a lot of people were intimidated by it. Oh, it's you know, you got to be really tech savvy. It really, you don't have to be. Just throw your demos in there. Just upload them. It does everything almost automatically. VoiceZam puts the power of your demo into the producer's hands where they can finally listen to what they want to hear, which makes an awful lot of sense. Plus, VoiceZam has figured how to break that one-minute barrier we all face when producing demos, and you've got to see how they've done it. So check this product out. Plus, eWabs has a special promo code for you with a free 45-day trial to all the VoiceZam features. 45 days free trial. You can see all the great things they have, like Xamtistics and all the other cool stuff. Go over to voicezam.com and check it out. And you want to get this great thing? It's easy. Just go over to the eWabs homepage and click on the VoiceZam logo. And like those in the chat room, all right, how many do we have there so far? Who raised their hand?
We got Anthony, Bill Lord, Steve Tardio, Bill Russell, Karen O'Brien. Five? Is that added to five?
I'm sure there's more. Next week, there will be more because they're all going to go out and try this free trial for 45 days and use all of the features that they have over at VoiceZam.
Yeah.
So like those of you in the chat room who have already discovered VoiceZam, we think you'll love it too. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go on over there.
I mean, some of you are probably thinking, well, I already have a demo player or I already have a flash player or whatever it is. This is worth
a shot.
This is worth the effort to at least try it out because of the additional features that it provides. Diana
Birdsall is using VoiceZam. Yeah, all right. So. Outstanding. All right. Well, we'll be back. We've got a Widom's World coming up and a lot more with Roger Leopardi. So stay where you are. We're not going anywhere. Neither should you. We'll be right back.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Dad?
Yeah, honey?
When you watch East West Audio Body Shop, why do you keep hitting your forehead?
And why do you keep yelling WTF?
And what does WTF even mean?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah, that's what it means.
I think you made that up.
Girls, just go do your homework. Right now I'm watching George and Dan on EWABS.
Okay.
All right, we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. Roger Leopardi is joining us tonight, and we'll have a more lengthy and in-depth conversation with him in just a couple of minutes. But we've got a Widom's World, do we not? And I can't wait for this one.
Well, here we go. Finally one that Dan wants to watch. Here we go. Happy holidays, everybody. This is George Widom reporting for Widom's World. Well, this is my last Widom's World for 2014, and I thought I'd end it on a rant and with a solution. So let me get on to it. So there was a post recently by a good friend in the voiceover world, Dave Cavassier, on his great blog at Corvo.com. And the topic was, this is why studios don't want to relinquish their ISDN. And it was quoting a working voiceover engineer, and he's explaining why he finds that these new technologies that are not ISDN, such as IPDTL, Source Connect Now, and others like them, are problematic in a studio. To sum it up, basically, he says, in a studio session, there is the engineer, the client, a remote client via phone patch, and often there is more than one talent. With ISDN, we get to choose what signals arrive where in our systems, and we route them appropriately. Talent get a headphone feed, playback, and client, plus talkback and phone patch get sent everywhere, but nothing gets sent back to itself. Right, that's how a proper mix minus is set up. Setting up such a scenario, especially when recording multiple remote talent at the same time, can be rather complicated. And this is the part that I have a problem with. Internet codecs can't easily be routed where we would like them to go, and working around feedback issues is problematic. ISDN doesn't create such issues and makes our lives easier. Until a solution arrives that allows studios to route the signals where they need them, including directly into the DAW, I don't believe you'll see widespread adaptation of the internet codecs. So here's the issue with that I have. We're really kind of having a narrow-minded look at what these new technologies are capable of and how they should be implemented, I should say. We look at these IP codecs as, you know, software that must be routed internally inside the computer, creating a whole new series of issues that need to be sorted out. And some of these issues are being sorted out and handled quite aptly, I have to say, by the likes of Source Elements with their Source Nexus tools. But that aside, let's look at this from a proper solution, okay, before we start poo-pooing the IP codec technology and say they're too hard to route. You guys have to remember that an ISDN codec box is just a computer that encodes and decodes audio into an MP3 stream or an MPEG-2 or AAC or whatever, and brings audio in and out of that box through its onboard analog-to-digital converter. That sounds an awful lot like a computer for recording audio, doesn't it? Well, that's really what it is. It's a computer, but a dedicated computer for doing that one job of encoding and decoding audio. What's keeping you from installing an inexpensive computer? And I just saw one recently that's the size, that's a 4x4-inch square called the Intel NUC that is more than capable of doing this. And it's about a $300 computer. What is keeping you from having a computer dedicated to that job in your machine room or in your rack? And all it does is take audio in, do the encoding, and receive the encoded audio from the internet and pass it back out again via an audio interface. What's stopping you from doing that? That doesn't sound so hard. Have a dedicated computer whose job it is to do that one thing. Now, that one thing can mean multiple things. It could do several things. It could be running IPDTL, Source Connect Now, Source Connect, Audio TX. If it's running Windows, it could run all of those codecs, no problem. And you would be able to have that system be routed exactly the way you would route any audio device in your studio because, well, it's just another audio device. It's got a pair of inputs and a pair of outputs. If you want to have something really bomb-proof, get a rack mount PC and put a PCI audio card in it with balanced in and out. So it's all internal. No USB, FireWire, Thunderbolt, anything like that to cause any issues. It is possible to do this, folks. Don't get caught up in this concept that IP codecs are inherently difficult to route. Because if you think of them as just another piece of equipment, if you treat it just like another appliance, the way you do your ISDN codec, you're not going to have the trouble that you so fear that you're going to be dealing with. It's really not all that bad. Try some of these ideas. And if you want to really try a dedicated IP solution because a PC solution just is not going to be feasible to you, try one of the dedicated IP codec devices that are out there, such as the Telos ZIP, which stands for Zephyr IP, the Comrex Brick, and a few of the others that are out there. BSW's catalog is full of them. And the radio industry has been using them for their transmitter links and things like that for quite a few years now. They're real, they work, they are reliable, and they are very easy to route once you dedicate them to their own box. Not so hard. So anyway, that is my little end of the year rant about ISDN versus IP codecs. It's been a long couple of months that we've been discussing this. Actually, it's been pretty much the whole year that we've been discussing whether ISDN is going away, when IP is going to take over. I think it's time that we move on, folks, and just start embracing this new technology and putting it to work. Just like some network I've heard of, maybe you have too, CBS, who is going to be going full-blown Source Connect in 2015. It's doable, gang. It's doable. If you want help with it, that's my expertise. I'm right here. I'm available to help you, not just the voice actor, but any studio engineer. Yeah. We know you're available. Everybody knows how to get a hold of me by now, vostudiotech.com. But Roger was just telling me here while we were watching that that video that he uses one of these IP codecs, Source Connect, and mm-hmm. you've been using it for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I've been using Source Connect for the last 7 years on a daily basis, quite successfully. I mean, again, you know, very, almost never do I have any problems, you know what I mean? And if I do, it usually comes from the other side not being properly mapped, you know, whoever's right. on the other, or if they're using DSL when, you know, you really shouldn't be using DSL, you should be using, you know, at least cable. You know, I mean, for best.
Or at least a dedicated. It should be a dedicated.
It should be a dedicated, right.
Dedicated
right,
line.
Right. I mean, and the audio quality is, you know, again, in my opinion, from my producer ears,
right.
Much more dynamic range than ISDN.
Right.
You know, and I still use ISDN on a daily basis. So it's not one knocking the other. There's definitely a place for both.
Do you guys find that you're using Source Connect as a fallback when ISDN takes a crap? Or. It doesn't get used that way that often, or does it?
For everybody, it's going to be a different situation. Yeah. I have had to use Source Connect as a fallback when ISDN wasn't working properly.
Yeah.
You know, which again is infrequent, but it's as infrequent as it is with Source Connect.
I've been surprised lately. I've had some of my clients that are ISDN users. They've had an issue with their ISDN line or whatever the thing is, and they go, oh, I got to use a Source Connect bridge. And so they start telling the client, well, I need to use a bridge and whatever. And they're like, oh, we have Source Connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it turns out, oh, they had Source Connect all along. Just nobody happened to mention it.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, both users, it's happening more and more now where both ends have Source Connect.
Right.
But they also have ISDN. So the first choice always tends to be ISDN. I think this is the year that's might shift.
Yeah.
You know, people start saying ISDN is a backup for Source Connect.
Yeah. Know? And why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And of course, I'm always of the belief that your studio should be good enough. If it's good enough for ISDN where you can record on their end, you certainly should be able to record good enough on your own end. If they can hear you and direct you and you send them the files, it really shouldn't be that much of an issue. Although, like you're saying, George, they're like, this is the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. I mean, in a small, you know, this small corner of the world of promo where they needed it 5 minutes ago,
right.
Every
yeah,
single
really.
Time. They get a little ornery when you do anything that doesn't fit into their production flow.
Yeah.
They get a little prickly.
Well,
right?
I think that as the cycles change here and the guys coming into the positions that are producing those jobs, you know, are younger and younger.
Yeah.
They're more on board with the newer technology and the go-to-ness and the no expense, you know what I mean? It's basically a one-time expense as opposed to a monthly expense. And then
a minute by minute expense.
Yeah.
For ISDN.
Yeah. And then God forbid, you know, if you're 100% ISDN reliant and say your lines are great, everything's great. Hey, it's great. You know, we never have dropout. We never have this, but something goes wrong on your box.
Yeah.
Happened to me out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, the box, just something glitched in the box.
They do that.
And then what? You don't have a backup to be able to record live real quickly, and it's part of your livelihood. You're in big trouble.
If anything, establish the IP connectivity as your backup to your ISDN service that you rely on. And then when that day comes when it becomes the only thing, you'll already have it in place. You'll already know how to use it. You'll feel comfortable with it.
Right.
It's a non-issue. Yep. So I think we beat that dead horse.
Yep.
Yes. All right. Well, see, now we have a little bit of, we've been twisting up the format here a little bit, so because now we have to go talk about Harlan.
Holy smokes. No breaks.
No, when does it break after?
Oh, there's a good, okay, we get to talk.
See, we have something special to show after this that people
awesome.
Have been waiting for almost 3 years. But anyway, we got to talk a little bit about our good friend and sponsor for 173 episodes. I can't believe they sponsored the first one. If you've ever watched episode one, you're like, he was probably going, what am I getting into? Well, 173 episodes, Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials are still with us because he knows we talk to the right people and he has the right stuff for the right people that watch our show, which is the best voiceover stuff you can get on the internet, the best customer service, great variety of things, plus all of Harlan's great signature series things like the headphones and the VO1A. Good stuff to have. And what do they have this week on the website?
Well, I was just showing everybody that we do appreciate if you link to it through our site. It just lets them know that you came through us. So if you are kind enough to go through the extra hurdle of going to ewebs.com, scrolling to the bottom, clicking on the Portabooth logo, that you'll take you to the VoiceOver Essentials website. And what's going on? Well, it seems like he's got a lot of the same stuff he's featured last week. He is taking pre-orders for the mythical, almost, Mixer Face.
The Mixer Face?
Yes, which I believe we're going to get. We've talked about having David, Michael Goldberg, sorry, from Goodman.
Goldman.
Michael Goodman.
Yes.
From Santrance to talk about the Mixer Face, but in a future show, actually. But Harlan's products are... just, they're nuanced for voiceover. I mean, there's just really nobody else doing what he's doing. Are these all the absolute end-all be-all for a voiceover studio? Not necessarily, not for everybody, but I can never feel bad about recommending his headphones or his microphone because they are both phenomenal products that have a lot behind them, and you're going to get great customer service from Harlan and his team. I mean, you're dealing with a really small literally ma-pa kind of cottage little business here. It's not a massive faceless corporation. You're going to get great service. And if it doesn't work for you, you can send it back. He will give you your money back. The customer service really is one great reason to come to Harlan for your audio gear.
Yeah. So go over there. It's right there. VoiceOverEssentials.com. It's got everything you need. Thanks, Harlan, for being with us. 173 episodes.
Holy cow.
Holy cow. And now something you've all been waiting for 3 years. We'll be right back after this.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
George and Dan, EWABs. They make our lives so much easier.
Oh, crap. What's wrong now?
And we're back here at East West Audio Body Shop. See, I told you, eventually I would come up with a new spot.
Nicely done, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It was good. It was really good.
Yes, and I didn't misspell there this time and leave it there for 3 years.
And good voiceover. Anyway. Good voiceover on that, too.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, the last one didn't even have a voiceover on it.
You would think that somebody in the audience over all those years would have submitted their own VO to you to use on the commercial. But nobody ever did it. Because that's because all of our viewers are too smart. They're out there actually doing jobs that make money.
That's right. Anyway, well, he's been with us since the start of the show, but let's have a little bit more of an in-depth conversation with one of our favorite guys, because he's always got something smart to say about the voiceover business. Roger Leopardi, welcome back to the East West Audio Body Shop.
No pressure or anything.
Yeah. That's funny. You know, my wife would say, yeah, he's always got something to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, mine too. But usually it's my wife that has something to say. But anyway, we won't get into that. Last time we spoke, I mean, we've spoken since then, but the last time you were on the show, you were in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're out in Los Angeles.
Yes.
What brought you out to the left coast?
Well, obviously it's been a while since I had been on. And in that time, you know, a lot had changed and a lot had progressed in my career. And I think what ended up happening was I got to that, you get to a point where you're not doing it, as far as the career part goes, like I didn't need any more out of it. You know, I was really good with what I was doing. But I hit this place that got me questioning what was I missing by not being here? You know, because my agents were always telling me, you know, that there's things that I'll never get the opportunity to do, that they would love to have me on and blah, 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 like all that stuff. So I had, you know, this thing was just kind of brewing inside of me, and I didn't want to be 60 years old and have made a good living, but to look back and say, what if, you know, what else could have been, you know, where might I have gone? And so I was in a position that, you know, that we could, as a family, make this decision and say, you know, let's give it a shot and see what happens. So we came out here and it's, you know, exactly what we thought it would be. There's definite opportunity that I would not get anywhere else but here. And that's been great. And for my son, who was, you know, a pixelated figure in our last, last interview, you know, Jordan, it's certainly a tremendous benefit for him because, you know, he does more animation and video games and stuff like that. And, you know, in the animation world and video game world, I'm looking at the screen. I know I should probably be looking at the camera, but so if everybody, like, I'm off, if, like,
when you
this,
want to talk to the audience, I'll talk to the camera.
So I know Dan asked the question, but I'm like, look at Dan. I want to go like this. Here's the camera. Dan.
It's weird.
You know,
I'll just go
but,
over here.
Yeah. But for you're way low. Like, you have to stand up and move over and go into the other room, and then you'll be right in front of the camera. So, but like for Jordan, it's been tremendous because you won't get those opportunities. You have to be here for that. You know, most of the time the agents won't, because the stuff calls for local talent only. And it's been a tremendous, this wasn't just for me. It was also for Jordan, and, you know, and it's worked out very well for him too.
Both of you guys have moved out here for your sons. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you too. That's
Oh yeah,
right.
We're doing the same thing for the, you know, for a lot of the same reasons and stuff like that. In California, just seems to have more opportunity, you know, where there may not be some of that here in Western New York and stuff like that. And plus it's warmer there.
Yeah. And again, benefit. Not to say that you can't make a tremendous career where you are.
Right.
You know, and where I was, there reaches a point where it's not about that anymore. You already know right. You can make a living.
Right.
There are bigger things, you know, and they're not necessarily for you. Like, you know, in our case, you know, it's ensuring a certain opportunity for our kids, for what we know their strengths may be.
Right. Well, the last time you were on and we were talking about, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, that you wanted to get and that you were in the running for a lot of those things, mm-hmm. and you wanted to make that transition. Well, it seems like moving to California seems to have gotten you over that hump. Not that it seemed like, to me, it didn't seem like a hump. It was like you were already halfway up the hill. Mm-hmm. So, or actually 2/3 up the hill, but you're a busy guy. I mean, you don't necessarily pick out a voice when you're watching TV, but I've noticed some high profile spots that you've been doing lately. There's this one, this Disney commercial with this woman dressed as a pirate swinging, and you wouldn't notice the voiceover. You know, it's there, but there you are. And that's all national stuff. Mm-hmm. You're just doing stuff for AARP, iSpot, you know, Aliens on the Moon. I mean, things like that. You're also narrating stuff. What are some of the things you've been working on lately?
Well, I have, you know, that TV show Coolest Places on Earth, which we're finishing up our second season, getting ready to start seasons 3 and 4.
Cool.
Aliens on the Moon was a perfect example. There was a 2-hour special for Sci-Fi, and excuse me, and there's one that I would not have gotten had I not been here. Plenty of shows you don't have to be here for. They audition shows all the time. This particular one, you had to be local. And I did it. I mean, I did the audition, and by that afternoon, I had already had a contract for that job. And that was an interesting one. That was to screen. It was a 2-hour special to screen, which I hadn't really done to screen before. It just doesn't seem necessary, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's another thing to distract.
What's happening is you're sitting there and, you know, you've got your script and there's a screen right over here and the screen, you know, has the scenes taking place. Well, in this particular case, the writer, had done a scratch with it, which they had built the whole 2-hour special to.
Oh my
and
gosh.
He did it as a writer, not as a voice actor.
Sure.
So, I mean, the way things were being said and the disjointedness of a sentence, like it was just, it was crazy. So though they had the screen right there, I didn't use the screen because I can't do that. You know what I mean? I'm looking at my copy. I can't look at my copy and be like this.
It seems like intellectually it would be helpful. Why wouldn't you want to see the screen? But that's the last thing you want to do is take your eyes
totally,
off the copy.
Unless you're memorizing lines.
One piece at a time, yeah.
Yeah, unless you're taking, I think if it's something that you're doing to working to picture over like ADR, something that's long form,
right.
where you're going to really pick it apart line by line, you know. Yeah. It's a different kind of thing.
It is.
That's always a lot of fun. You know, if you've got, if you're doing something, I do some work with a company in England and they had somebody with an English accent. They needed to do an American accent. They'd already done all the animation. They went, oh, can you sync this?
Holy cow.
Yes. It was only about 3-4 minutes long.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You go through it line by line. You watch the whole thing and you rewrite it. And you just, if you can edit, you can do it, which, you know, hopefully they pay you more money for that kind of stuff because not everybody can do that kind of thing.
Right? Dan, I wanted to say something, like when you were introducing Roger, like talking about his body of work.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the best things as a voice, like almost the best compliment that you could get as doing what you do is I don't really know your voice in a way, because it means that your voice is your voice won't get pigeonholed. Like
it does what it's supposed to do.
It just is there,
right.
But you're not going, oh, that's totally that guy. You know, you can't miss Howard Parker, for example, can't miss the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hugely successful, but you know, that voice could start that style, whatever his thing could be, get tired. Right. And if you're not as, what am I trying to say here?
Understated.
Yeah. If it's more understated, or if it's more, you know, not as, I don't know.
I'll kind of sum it up.
Explain
for you.
Explain it to him, Roger.
I will, because, and this will actually, let me take you back a couple or few years, actually, because, you know, a lot of this stuff, like I've been the voice of Disney, you know, as far as their national television spots for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like, this is one campaign and a lot of this stuff that you had on there are stuff that's been ongoing for years now.
Right.
Well, there was a turning point, another turning point. You remember the throwaway turning point? Well, you're always learning something, and something that helps you kind of get to that next place and better your feel and better your reading.
You're not learning, you're falling behind.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah, you better always be.
Always be learning. ABL.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're always learning. You know, someone's always bringing something new out of you or challenging you in some way that pulls something that you didn't even know you had, you know. So another turning point was like what you're saying, you know, well, you know, you kind of don't even know that you're there. Well, there was one point where you felt that you were the star of the show. You know, if you're the announcer, you know, you've got this auditioned thing, you know, and all the other stuff going on, you know, this is the only thing that's been auditioned is, you know, the lead for who the announcer is, you know, who's representing this product. Well, what I kind of stumbled across, I don't remember how somebody told me, I don't remember what it was, but you know, it's that you're not the star of, you are, but you're not. And you've got to kind of get that out of your mind. And it's that you're basically supporting the visuals and you're not to be, it's not a radio spot. So, you know, in this particular case, television, you know, or narration, whatever it is, you can't be the star of it because then you're taking away from everything that is going on screen. You're taking away from everything that they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to go film and guys to do animation or guys to do, you know, motion graphics, all this stuff. You're just supposed to kind of just ride in there and tell the story, whatever that story is. And that's it. You're basically, even though you're the lead, you're basically just a backbone. You're a backbone. So, you know, it's like the whole thing, you know, with kids are supposed to be,
seen not heard.
Yeah, it's almost exactly. The same kind of thing.
Heard but not heard.
You're supposed to be heard but not heard.
Yeah. I mean, and if you listen to a lot of commercials, the visuals are supposed to, in television, the visuals are supposed to drive it. I've always had this belief, and I remember when I was studying in college, it's like, if you're watching something, if you turn down the sound, you should be able to enjoy and understand what's going on. And you should be able to turn off the picture and listen to it and understand exactly what's going on. And if you have both of those with the same production, it all works really, really well. And right. That's the sign of excellent production.
Yeah.
Good producer knows, got to have good writing, got to have the right talent doing all this stuff. And you have all the right talented people doing it. And you learn that, and it's apparently serving you very well.
Yeah, and it works. And again, just like the throwaway story from the whole Nickelodeon thing, you know, that got me to one place that changed my booking, you know, my booking ratio. And then this other thing took me to a whole different place. And then it reflects in your work. Like you end up, you know, you see based on auditions that, you know, you weren't necessarily landing before that now you're getting. You know, there are, again, since the last time we spoke, there's always some challenge, you know, like there was a challenge for a long time. I just couldn't book McDonald's spots. I just didn't get it. You know, again, it was the same thing like with the Nickelodeon. I didn't get it. Why wasn't I getting this kind of thing? You know, you had this mindset. Well, when I figured it out, finally, and it's not figured it out like you get every one. You just figured it out enough that at least you're in the ballpark all the time.
Right.
Then it's just a numbers game. Again, it's just like everything else. You got to dial it in. And then once you dial it in, it's just a numbers game.
Right. How does that differ from, say, network to network or producer to producer or product to product, agency to agency?
It's all the same.
It's all the same. So it's
the thinking is the same, whether you, and I don't mean it in any kind of, you know, insulting-ish kind of way. Just it's the same. If you're working with Leo Burnett, or if you're working with DDB, if you're working with FCB, if you're working with any Saatchi & Saatchi, it's the thinking is the same. It's the same across the board. So that's why I'm saying once you dial in in this case, you know, like if it were music, it'd be genre, but you know, like if it's insurance companies or if it's automotive or if it's QSR, you know, fast food restaurants, stuff like that. Right. Once you dial in the category, then again, it's just a numbers game at that point. It's just a matter of when your time is going to hit. And you know, if the copy that comes across your audition that particular day matches you perfectly.
Right. Interesting. Now you didn't start in voiceover, as I recall. You were a musician, and you got into voiceover doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my story is quite a bit more than that. I mean, I went back to like I can't even get into the story because it would be way too long. We need.
That's okay. We got plenty of time. No, go ahead.
But yes. My background was in music and the recording industry. So that definitely helped, with kind of having a rhythmic-ish kind of feel or that, you know, that what a production is the same as a song, you know, it has all of these feels and these emotions and stuff that go through it and you apply that. I don't know that I could explain it exactly.
Yeah.
Because I tell people all the time, you know, if I'm trying to help somebody, you know, you're stuck in a rhythm. You know, if they're reading something to me and I'm like, well, you're reading in a set rhythm. But then at the same time, I could say, you know, there's a rhythm to this read that's important. So it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. Because somebody being set in this rhythm where they're going up and down and doing this stuff in places that don't even make sense to go up and down, or if you're doing it the right way, that matches, you know, you're in some kind of a rhythm, you're in some kind of a syncopation, you're in some kind of a melody that works for that story that right. You're telling, that 15 second or 30 second or 60 second, whatever it is. It's all a story. And it's your job to take somebody through that story in whatever amount of time you have to do it.
Yeah. So music was a definite plus for you. You know, they always talk about the music, the musicality of your voice and things along those lines. So having an understanding, because I can't read it. I see notes and it's just scribbling on a page as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't read music.
Oh, you don't?
No. Everything I did was just by ear. So again, it's just ear.
Well, but that says a lot right there.
I read music.
Like that matters.
Well, that makes me feel so much better, especially since I, you know,
I was trying to make you feel better because I saw where you're going with that.
So. Yeah, it's well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, you've made this turning point now, and being in California, how often do you work just to scare a few people?
Well, I mean, I work every day.
Yeah,
I work every day. I mean, this is how I make my living, and this is how I take care of my family, and you know, and support my shoe fetish and my, you know, all that stuff. So I got to work a lot, And fortunately, I do work a lot. And for those times, though not often, thank goodness, that I may not be busy bell to bell, I'm still working. You know, I'm still, whether it's working on my read or it's working on, you know, making sure that my equipment is working properly, and or just figuring out maybe why I'm not booking certain things or trying to better my read. I'm always doing something related to how I make a living.
Right.
Well, he did bring up equipment.
Yes. It's an important thing because that's one of your, makes you one of my favorite guys, because, you know, there are so many people out there who are trying to get into voiceover, and people who've been in broadcasting for years, or they've been voice talents for years, but they're just talent. The ability to be able to manipulate the sound and do the editing and all those things increases your value so much to producers on the other end. People need to understand that. And that's
absolutely
something you do.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're going to be in voiceover today, just generally speaking, you have to do all of that stuff. It's not, you know, again, even here, for the most part, you know, what I do is still mostly done at my place. You know, I go to studios because, again, you know, one of the reasons for being here is that opportunity to be able to be face to face with clients. And so those opportunities I take, and I go and do the face to face thing. Yeah. I don't have to do it, but I choose to do it. And we go ahead and we book together. Otherwise, I'm at home and I'm working out of my studio. And unless you're here, or New York City or Chicago for the most part, or maybe Milwaukee. You have to, everybody who's getting into voiceover today has to become somewhat of an engineer / producer / director. You have to. You really can't do or say that you do voiceover unless you do all of that stuff. And that stuff you have to know before you even can do this part, because absolutely, this part means nothing if you can't get it down and save it and know how to make sure that your audio quality is excellent and or at least acceptable. And fortunately, guys like you are out there that people can send this stuff to say, listen to this and tell me what you think. You know, like, how does this sound to you? And you put your professional ear to it, both of you, and give somebody feedback, and then have services to be able to help out, you know, if they really need to take it to that other place. But you have to know how to run a basic studio. You have to. Yeah. There's no getting around it.
No argument here. All righty. Hey, if anybody of you in the chat room have a question for Roger, throw it in there, because we need to ask him these things. You don't get the chance to talk to these big guys all the time, except once a week here on East West Audio Body Shop. So let's go to some of these questions and see what people have to say to you. First off, the real Amy Fisher asks, does Roger do any on camera?
No. No.
No desire to? Or
You know, I think, it, as silly as it may sound, I think it's one of those things that you kind of have to love the way you look to want to be on screen. I don't love the way I look, and I don't really want to be on screen.
Are you kidding me? It's
hard enough being on screen with this.
Using Yiddish words. Very good.
That's it. He's getting there. So no, I don't really think about it. I've been asked, but I,
right. She also asks,
never say never.
Yes. Do you take off your rings when you record?
I do not, as a matter of fact. And it's funny because I get questioned about it. When I'm at studios, like, how do you do that? But I'm like, well, cause I'm not one of those guys that does voiceovers, like waving my hands around and stuff. I don't do that. I talk with my hands when you and I are talking, but when I go in and I start working, like, that never became part of my thing. I left the emotion, to come out strictly through the expression, of maybe some little things with my face, but not really much. Any expression mostly comes from my eyes. But no, I left all that work to just what's going on in here. And that's it. So I don't really move, Amy. So you don't really hear me jingling, baby.
Kevin Schuller asks, what's your fitness regimen? You seem to be far more physically fit than the last time you were on. Or is it the lighting?
Somebody's paying attention.
See, I guess he was really paying attention.
Well, it must be the lighting. But for the most part, to tell you the truth, the one thing that that coming out here has done is because the weather is just beautiful almost all the time. At home, you know, on my free time, I would go fishing. You know, I'd take my boat out and I'd go fishing, and you don't really get much exercise doing that.
Yeah.
Although I love it. There's not much, you know, exercise wise here. I found that when I was not working, I wanted to be outside and I wanted to walk, whether it was walking Ventura, or it was going to Runyon. And my wife goes every day and she runs like a crazy person. So I tag along, you know, a lot of the time and I walk. So yes, I have probably lost about 20 something pounds since the last time you saw me.
Okay. Well,
That's good to know.
So I don't know if that was a question was a joke or not, too. But even if it wasn't a joke, I have lost like 20-something pounds just by walking.
Okay. And Anthony mentions this as more than one lady in the chat room would like to see your shoes.
That I'm wearing right now?
Yes, that you're wearing right now. We don't have to go into your closet here unless you're wearing a pair of sandals.
Well, I mean, today I happen to have on one of my Golden Goose shoes now. To the average shoe person, this is not going to seem like that big a deal. But Golden Goose, if you look it up, is very they're handmade in Italy. You know,
it looks like a $20 pair of Chuck Taylors. You kidding me, dude?
They do look like a $20 pair of Chuck Taylors.
But they ain't.
But they ain't. So
I like the zipper on the side. Easy on, easy off.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yes. Kitchen Bob, the one and only Bob Hurley asks.
Bob. I love
Let's
Bob.
Play. Roger, what are the best shoes for success in voiceover?
Jeez.
I would say whichever ones make you feel the coolest. Bob. In your case, bedroom slippers, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bob? I don't hear you.
No, he's not saying anything. He's still off where he is.
He'll text me in a minute.
He's getting his slippers.
I'm sure he will, yeah. I mean, I wear my slippers, too.
Bedroom slippers and a robe for Bob.
Yes.
Well, definitely. Not only how you dress, obviously, but how you your studio environment, all those things has something to do with how you feel when you're voice acting, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you have to kind of get yourself into this place with your surroundings, you know, your work surroundings and your whole thing, and kind of get you into the mode, you know, in my particular case, you know, this is how I've always been.
Yeah.
So it's kind of my persona. It fits me and it fits my style. And it also happens to match the way I work and my style of work. And yeah.
Yeah. Do you deck out the closet though, or when you in there? Are you in there just to record, and you're in and out? Or do you have anything else in the closet besides the clothes and stuff?
Nah, I'm in there just to record.
Yeah,
I go in, I do VO, and I'm out.
Do you even have a monitor or anything in there?
Do I have what?
Do you have a display, a screen?
I use my iPad.
You just have your iPad.
Yeah, I just use my iPad.
Yeah,
because I find with the scripts, the problem is then you're dependent on lighting.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and if somebody sends you, like I did copy last week where the client sent everything in cursive, like, and this, you know, this is from a big agency and I couldn't say anything. So, and it was on a script and that was, I went to the studio for that. And I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me for real? Like, and even the engineer, I was like, are they kidding me? And he's like, I don't know. And he goes, that's just weird. You know?
Yeah.
So at least off an iPad, you know, there are certain things you can control. You can go and with, you know, if you're using Pages or something like that, you can change the fonts and you can,
right.
the lighting, you don't have to worry about lighting. It can be in pitch black and you can determine the brightness of your screen.
Yeah.
And if you need your fonts bigger or smaller.
You can pinch zoom and make it larger or whatever you have to do.
Exactly. So the only pain in the ass a little bit with something like that is if you happen to switch to Yosemite, like some of us did, everything rings. If somebody's calling my phone, my iPad is ringing because now it acts like a phone. My computer rings. Now it acts like a phone. So right in the middle of me reading copy, you know, like it'll come up and it'll be like, Kitchen Bob is calling, you know?
Oh, jeez.
I've noticed that, too. It's like, my bedroom is calling me for some reason.
Everything is calling.
It's kind of
weird. Apple's showing off their new toys. Yeah. What can you say?
So, yes. And they also asked, by the way.
What's up?
Did that answer the question?
It most definitely did.
Okay.
You know, considering we were talking about shoes, that one went on for a while. let's see here. She also asks, who are some of your past coaches? Who are some of the people you've worked with?
I haven't worked with coaches. Good.
That was the answer I thought you would give.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, I guess, you know, I had mentioned when I was on before, you know, that as somebody who produced commercials, that I did work with some really good guys for a long time. So maybe in a sense, you know, maybe they were kind of coaches, but it wasn't a coaching.
Yeah. It wasn't a formal relationship.
I wasn't going for coaching or anything like that. And, you know, just certain things that over time, you know, maybe I picked up about one particular guy was really good at reading copy really fast and maybe, but it didn't sound fast, you know? So it was how he maybe grouped his words together. And another guy was really, really good at projection and not taking a lot of breaths. And maybe that, you know, kind of indirectly taught me something about breathing or, you know, or how to keep my sentences, you know. You know, I mean, more life coaching than anything, and more, you know, I tell people, I tell anybody that ever comes to me and asks me for advice on specific things and coaching and all that, I say, look, you know, you've got, and not to take anything away from any coaches out there, you know, maybe some people need coaches and hopefully the coaches do have some kind of a background in voiceover and success that they're able to share, through their successes in that.
Yeah.
If not, I say you have a television and there's free coaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Exactly. If you want to do voiceover, there are commercials if you want to do commercial. There's narration if you want to do narration. There's animation if you want to do animation. There's promo if you want to do promo. It's all right there for you to. It's amazing how many people you talk to that ask you for advice, ask you for this, ask you for that. You ask them something simple like, do you watch commercials? Well, I don't really watch, you know, television, you know, or I don't really watch the commercials. I kind of skip through them. Really? So you want to get in and you want to do voiceover and you want to do commercials and you want to do all this stuff, but you don't even know what they sound like, you know? You know, and it's not
you're not going to set the trend yourself.
No, I mean, you have to kind of know what, you know, what this stuff sounds like and, you know, not to copy it. You still do what you do. But no matter what, there's a sound to it. There's a sound to beer commercials. They all sound the same. It's just they're using Dan, they're using George, they're using Roger, they're using Diane. It doesn't matter who they're using. The sound is always the same. Car ads are always the same.
And if you can't stop from skipping the commercials, then hide the remote or something. Put it in the freezer, whatever you have to do to keep from pressing the skip button.
Yeah. But more importantly, there's your real world free coaching. Those are the people that if you're seeing it on television and you're hearing it on the radio, those are the people that are working.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Save that one for eWeb's Essentials. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Suzanne Roberts asks if...
Suzanne, you know it all. I've told you everything. Come on.
Yeah, well, she's asking again.
Okay.
If you were getting in today, as in 2015, as opposed to when you started, what would you differently or what would you take advantage of that wasn't available when you started?
That's a little bit of a tough question, Suzanne, because I didn't really use any things before. So I don't know that I would necessarily use the things now because those things aren't what got me, you know what I mean? That didn't really get me working. What got me working was spending the time. I mean, aside from the obvious, having a studio and having the equipment and all that stuff, what got me working is dialing in my read and getting very, very good at being me. And that was it. And that, I mean, nothing can change that. No coaching can change that. No anything can change that. No anything can change that. The only thing that was time spent working on my craft, like a guy sitting there, a girl sitting there playing guitar, you know, They don't have to read a lick of music, and they've been doing it since they're 5, they've been doing it since they're 10, or they just started, you know, but they spend every available minute working, just feeling around until they feel so comfortable with it that it's effortless. They don't think about it. It's an extension of their body, that guitar.
It's part of them.
Right? Such exactly. A level of dedication.
Yeah. So again, the way you talk, and I know this is kind of going off subject a little bit, but that's what
that's
I do.
That's fine.
The whole dialing in the who of who you are is everything. Because once you have that, once you're able to deliver just you, and it's a very hard thing to do, incredibly enough, which is weird. How hard is it to be us, you know? And I was talking to somebody just the other day, and they were talking about, well, you know, and she's an actress, an established actress who does tons of national TV shows and, I mean, commercials, and she's had TV shows. And she was over at my house, we were working on VO, and she's like, I don't understand how you do it. I'm like, you're an actress. What are you talking about? She's great to just talk to, right? Just regular girl, fun, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as she'd start doing a VO, she'd go into this thing.
Right.
No matter what the read was, she'd start doing this. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, what? I'm like, just be the, and I don't want to say her name, but I'm like, just be the, who was just talking to me 2 seconds ago.
Betsy.
You know, be Betsy who was just talking to me, or be Betsy who's Henry's mom, you know, or be Betsy who's, you know, whatever. Find that girl, because that you bring so much to the table as that person. You know, that's who you are. Right. And all that personality you're losing as soon as you start to read, because you're reading and going into this thing. I don't know.
They're hiring you for you.
That's another quotable.
It is. Absolutely.
Find your inner Betsy.
Find your inner Betsy. So,
I know she's
and Suzanne knows from this, and Bob knows from this. You know, we've had these conversations before, and just how important it is to dial in your everyday talking voice. That's your base. You know, and this could be a whole class on this whole thing, but I mean, that's your base. That's what you start from, and then you just there's slight variations. Again, I think I said this even the first time, but it's you know I got it more dialed in now. Your base. And then there's just slight variations. I'm talking a quarter of an inch, you know, up and a quarter of an inch down as to what differentiates your mood and the sound of whether you go from being just regular to being a little more excited to being a little angry to being a little subtle to being, you know, they're so slight. And so many people make the mistake of thinking that it's from here to here and here to down here and it's all over and you change your projection and you change all that stuff and you dial it in right there. Your talking voice. Your talking voice is your moneymaker.
Was she wearing headphones at the time?
She was not.
Okay, interesting.
And then
so I would think that would be more of an issue with headphones.
No,
on.
And then I put her in headphones because I think I told you this last time too. For me, the trick was to put myself in headphones and crank, and I told you this, Dan, to crank up your headphones to keep you back, because if you talked loud and you blew yourself out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You would learn how to talk lower because you could hear all those little nuancey things taking place in your voice that you really want to hear. So you think you have to project to get it.
Mm.
Right.
Interesting.
And you don't. When you turn up those headphones and you just sit there and you talk like this, and this is just my regular talking voice, and just it is what it is.
Yeah. And did you hear the difference between when Roger was 3 inches off mic and 6 inches off of mic? I talk about mic placement until I'm blue in the face.
Right.
But man, does it make a difference as to how it delivers. It can either sound like you're talking in someone's ear or yelling at them from a distance by moving from here to here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable how subtle it is.
Yeah, well, you treat the microphone as if it's a person.
Yeah,
that's what I know. And you have a conversation and, you know.
Would you, when you read the script, think to yourself, how far away would I be from my friend when I tell them this message? Would I be... laying next to them in bed, or would I be talking to them from 2 feet away? You know, it's right.
Well, in my particular case, are you asking me that question?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm postulating on what you might do, but I mean,
yeah. In my particular case, I don't like to change proximity too much.
Yeah.
Because like for me, like I have everything dialed in. Excuse me. I have everything dialed in my studio, and I don't change levels ever. So no matter how many studios I work with, no matter how many anything, I don't ever change levels. It's always exactly the same. I know what this...
You turn the volume
I turn the volume right here.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I try not, my proximity does have a lot to do with, like, if I'm having to do something that's a little more hard sell, then I'll back off a little bit. Not too much.
Yeah.
But I also know that the difference between me talking like this and my hard sell, I've learned how to do without projecting so much that you blow out. You
it's
know,
a 10% difference in volume.
It
not
is
50%.
Or it's even a pitch up, and you know,
yeah.
It's like the difference between going like this and going right now. You just get like, I can do that without changing volume, but it's just, it switches it. It's almost like a trick.
Mm.
You know, it's like an audio trick. You know, it's like taking a plug-in or like a normalizer. Somebody talks like this and whatever, and then you go and you normalize it, and now it's like, you know, it's way up,
much lower. Yeah,
right. Well, it's learning to be your own normalizer.
Yeah. Your own processor. Your processor is built right. into your vocal cords and your brain.
Exactly. Right.
Well,
but again,
not
to cut you off, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But like, you know, this is all stuff that goes, that's all part of the process. It's just process. It's just not as simple
as. It's kind of years in the making here, folks.
It's not just, you know, you get lucky enough to one day and you're just doing a VO and you're getting paid to do it.
Right.
You know, there's so many of those little things that you kind of need to know to put into it, because that's what makes you a professional.
That's right. Well, that sort of ties in. Two people asked sort of the same question, is how long did it take you to really build your business when you transisted from, is that a word, transisted?
Transistor.
Made that transition.
Transition.
From being a musician and really doing full-time voiceover.
I didn't transition from being a musician. That's why I was, you know, there's a story there. Right. The musician thing and the success in the record industry, that was a long time ago. That's just something that, you know, music is something that you don't ever lose. It's part of who you are.
Right.
So
it's a great foundation.
Yeah. But it's just part of who I am.
Yeah.
There was a whole world in between there. Where it wasn't that, you know, I was working for $5 an hour. I went from making, you know, a lot of money as a recording artist to making $5 an hour as a stock person in a shoe store and starting back all over, you know, from nothing. So the transition was long, as far as like getting my me built back up, to go ahead and get into doing this. At this point, I came from producing commercials to doing this.
Ah.
That's where my transition
mm-hmm.
took place,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that transition took place from, you know, coming out of retail into, you know.
Marketing.
I just sum it up real quickly, just the ending part of all the years that led up to
the dark ages,
the dark ages. I realized after working all these years in retail, and I eventually got into retail management and blah, 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 all that stuff, got married, had kids, and worked for a strong company that I did great work for and was fired. And I, to this day, couldn't even tell you why. I can tell you partially why. It was kind of because after doing what I said I was going to do for this company and living up to my end of the bargain, a district manager, wanted me to start doing it her way. After I had already done everything that they were unable to do prior to me getting there. And I said, well, I'm not going
to
do it that way.
This is
the way I proved to you that this is the way that it works. And this is right. what would bring the success.
Yeah.
And now you want to go ahead and change it back to your way. And I could. So anyway, I got fired. So long story short, from that, it was at that moment, that I was at this crossroads, and I went home to my wife and told her that I got fired, and it was very difficult because Jackie and I both worked, and you know, we had a house and all this stuff. And I'm like, Jackie, I can't go back to retail. I can never, ever, ever, ever work retail again in my entire life. I'm never just going to be a number for a company again, ever. What I bring to the table, whatever value I bring to the table, is going to be appreciated, and it's going to bring me my worth. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So it was at that point I had a customer, I went to Sam Ash as my transition. I needed to get back into kind of thinking where I was going to go musically and if I was going to do that again, who knew?
Sure.
I had a customer who I dealt with on a regular basis, needed me always for Pro Tools and show him things and this and that, blah, 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 blah. And he worked for an advertising agency. And one day I just said to him, I said, Jay, I said, how come you never asked me if I wanted a job? He goes, I didn't know you were looking, Roger, you know, because he had that kind of announcery voice. And I'm like, I'm looking. And he goes,
if I'm working here, I'm looking for a job.
Right. Yeah, let's be honest.
Oh my God.
I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. It was crazy. So it was from there. He said, well, I'll set something up. And I went and I interviewed, and that same day I had a job producing commercials that I had never done before, but he didn't know that. I brought my music background at that point, my ability to be able to produce, and just, I fudged my way through it enough and got really good at it. And that transitioned my voice.
People hate it when you say this, man, but you fake it till you make it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I faked it enough to myself and put that pressure on myself because I didn't want to let anybody down and I didn't want to lose this opportunity. You know, I got the opportunity. So I got really good at it. And I got really fast at it, and I got efficient, and it was the base for everything that I am now, as far as my work ethic and as far as my understanding of voiceover, and you know, and my retail background, all of it, everything in my entire life at this point goes into kind of where I am right now.
Yeah. All right. Jack DeGaulia had asked these questions, and they got buried because they were at the top, and then...
Oh, Jack got buried. Uh-oh. And then Dan got frozen.
An awful lot for us.
You're back. You froze for a second. We're back. So go ahead.
It's really cold here.
I'll read the Jack ones.
Okay.
Jack DeGaulia says, should you audition with the entire script or just a 30 to 60 second sample? So I guess he's assuming this would be a longer script, longer than 60 seconds.
Well, I will say this. For me, and it's not to be pompous or anything like that in any way, but I'm busy on a daily basis. And I do as many auditions as I do jobs. You know, auditions are, our leads.
50-50 kind of almost, depending on the day.
It just depends on the day. You know, some days you just get so many auditions. You know, again, the reality is if you work two or three or four or five jobs, you know, a day, then, you know, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lot of work, but it's a lot of work.
Right.
So, you know, auditions, I get a lot of auditions all the time.
Yeah.
You know, those auditions are just so, so important because those are the potential future jobs. So the question is again, they're 30, 60, do you read? Okay. So I don't have, the time when somebody sends their full video production, they don't need, for me at least, I don't give them that whole read. They need 30 seconds or 60 seconds. They can hear what it is that I'm doing. And if they can't get it from that, then, you know, not only that, but I wouldn't, you know.
If they didn't hire you in the first 30 seconds, they weren't going to hire you anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. And for people, you know, especially for people out there that are working in, you know, in kind of the Voice 1-2-3 world and places like that. And I especially wouldn't do it in those worlds because if you do the full read, there's a strong possibility that something could happen.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth taking that chance. You just give them enough to be able to hear what it is that you do. Don't jip them. If they give you, you know, if there's 2 minutes there, give them a minute, you know, minute and a half, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you don't have to do the whole read, in my opinion.
Right.
Would you just cut it off at an arbitrary moment or would you sort of fade it out so it's very obvious? Like if you just cut it off, they could go, "What? Something's wrong with the file."
I would end it in a sentence that made sense to.
Just but wouldn't you like fade it out so it's like very obvious that you intentionally ended the script early? Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, no. I would read enough that says, you know,
and like it or not,
and end it where there's a period and be like, "Look, you got
with
what
a
you,
giant long echo, echo,
echo, echo, echo, echo, and, yeah."
All right, and the second part of Jack's question, and this is pretty basic, but you know, people starting out, they need to know this: absence of directions on slating, because everybody talks about slating.
Okay.
It's like the least important thing of some. It's important to somebody, but should you slate, and if so, in character or as yourself if it's a character voice audition.
Okay, well, I'm a funny person.
No detail there, Jack.
I'm a funny person. As you know, if you ask Suzanne, I'm real funny about slates. I just think it's so unprofessional to throw all the little mishmashy stuff in there, and especially to do it in character. You don't do that, you know. The character isn't you, so you know, yeah. it's Jack. So, and you don't say, "Hi, this is Jack, blah 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 blah," you know, doing the audition of Bob, Kitchen Bob. And I had to throw that in there, Bob. You just unless an agency or some or whoever you got the audition from has specific direction for the slate, if they say that they want you to slate it, their company name, then your name, then the character or the client, you do that if they request that. Otherwise, you just say Roger Leopardi, except your name, and then you do your read, whatever it is.
Yeah,
that's it. My next one, I'm going to do Roger Leopardi. see if that helps at all. Steve Tardio asks, do you ad lib or improvise with scripts or auditions?
Well, I used to not at all, and I still really don't. But the only place that you apparently have that, and I only learned this a couple of years ago, because for me, I always learned, you know, it's every word that's on the page and that's it. Mm-hmm. But apparently in radio, you can ad lib a little bit more. And actually a lot of the time, they would like a little ad lib because a lot of the time the copy is just so vanilla.
Stiff.
Yeah. That right. They would like to see what you bring to the table. Now you can't go so far. And that's where you have to know, you got to know how to keep it. You can't go crazy. You know, yeah. They still only have 15, 30, 60 seconds or whatever it is. And you can't go on this rant about something that has nothing to do with it because you just happen to have good acting skills, you know,
right.
Ad lib skills. They don't want that, you know, but if a line, you know, starts off with, guess what happened yesterday? You know, you could say, you can go, hey, Bob, guess what happened yesterday? You know, I mean, you could throw in something like that. Television, absolutely word for word what's on the script. You can't ad lib. You don't ad lib unless somebody tells you to, and 99% of the time you're already cutting it close, chances are, with the copy and television.
Right.
So pay attention when you see the audition notice. Does it say 60 second, 30 second TV or 30 second, 15 second radio?
Absolutely.
It's a whole different thing.
Right.
Well, Roger, as always, it's a pleasure having you on the show, and we won't make it 3 years till the next time you're on, because I'll be able to just give you a call, and you'll be able to run over to the studio up Ventura Boulevard.
That's it.
Yeah, you better be careful. You might become like one of our regulars, like, hey, Roger just happened to be available. Hey, Roger. Yeah,
I just happened to be in the neighborhood.
One of our walk-ons.
Because he actually will be.
We have a walk-on.
But anyway, thanks for being with us tonight. Some great stuff, as I knew you would give us.
Hey, you're welcome. That's it? That's all?
That's all for now.
You've been talking for an hour.
Oh my, I have? That's the problem. Yes. You know, this is exactly what my wife says. I can't help it. Like, I could go on for hours and hours and hours, and it's truly because I like sharing the information. It's, you know, I can't stand the sound of my own voice, so it's certainly not that. It's I just enjoy sharing, so.
And I appreciate it. And yeah, you know, and our private benefit. Conversations, I really appreciate the time you spent with me, and that's always helpful. And I look forward to more of it, since I'll be, you know, knacking on your door every other day. Roger!
You better not tell him where you live.
He already gave me enough. I'll figure it out. But anyway, thanks for being with us, and I look forward to having you on again.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll be sitting right here.
Yeah, all righty. We'll talk to you probably a little bit more. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap things up here on East West Audio Body Shop. So don't go away just quite yet.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Welcome back to East West Audio Body Shop. Dan Leonard in the East. and George Vidim in a vest. We'd like to have you here. Sit, listen. You like it.
How's Larissa?
All right.
Larissa Gallagher, I love her.
Yeah. Oh, I remember when she did that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Do you have the announcement jingle ready? George, play the jingle. And
to sit back and relax, it's time for some announcements.
Things, probably plenty of people have already fallen asleep.
I love having guests here, but it's one extra layer of distraction that makes it that much harder for me to
miss. That's why I laid it out for you nice and clear. Put the jingle in, hit the button.
I know.
And we're
no excuses. Okay.
Next week on this very show, in this very place, maybe even watching them on Facebook, but they've been doing this great series of, you know, I think they're trying to imitate us or doing a parody of us, only not. Dave D'Andrea and Paul Hernandez, they're voice artists in Oregon. Yes, there are voice actors in Oregon. The VO guys in the garage are going to be our guests next week. Ought to be lots and
have you
lots.
Seen these guys?
Lots and lots of fun.
It's freaking awesome. They do a spoof of shows like ours. It's freaking hilarious.
It's funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good.
You want to make sure you're in your garage. That should be very interesting. On the 26th, Mary Lynn Wissner will be with us.
Sweet.
Everybody knows how great she is at what she does. And
long overdue getting her on.
Absolutely. Monday, January 26th. Thanks to our donors. Do we have a list of donors or have... That's just been a little bit over your workload tonight.
we just got one from Graham Spicer. Thanks a ton, Graham. Very, very kind. We got one from Jeffrey Scott Chambers. Yep. Jeez, Jeffrey, very generous. Brian Roush, he's one of our subscribing members. Eric Aragoni, never ever misses a week ever. What else we got? This one came in from, that was a payment. Never mind. Jack DeColia, he's one of our subscribing, even though Jack
does
work for the show, he still sends us money. Holy cow, Jack. I don't know what you expect from us, man. Sorry.
We did send him a fruit basket, didn't we?
I hope so. C3M Productions, I don't know who you are, but thank you. And gosh, do we have even more? Michael Martin? And if I missed anybody, I apologize. Deborah Irwin. Holy crap. That's a lot of donations. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. And it helps. And it's going to make this show even better in the future. Let's see. What else? Narrator helper. George's wife, Amy. She's good at it. If you're doing audiobooks, have her do the listening.
God help you. And if you are, then you want to work with narratorhelper.com. Amy can make the workflow, the stream, the process super smooth. Absolutely worth every penny.
Yes. And catch the show logs. You can access the show logs from EWAB's website in the upper right-hand corner of the screen where there's a show logs button. Is that pointing to the upper right-hand
side there? Indeed there is. It's up there in the upper right-hand corner.
All right. And Jack does a great job of compiling all the things that Roger said tonight. They're going to be there verbatim. He's like writing this stuff shorthand. So it'll all be there. Make sure you like us on YouTube and the podcast version. How can they get the podcast version of the show if they're...
There's a lot of ways.
They want to hear this in their car.
Yeah, if you're an Apple, iTunes, obviously. Stitcher Radio is another technique people like listening to shows on. Stitcher, why did I even bother spelling it out? Stitcher Radio. And then there's ewabs.podbean.com, which is where our podcast exists. There's so many ways you can listen to the show and watch the show. So choose one.
Right. But do it.
But now, do it, whatever it is.
But you are doing it now if you're listening to it.
Actually, yeah. What am I thinking?
Yes. All right. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, of course. Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, and VoiceSam, providing an uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth, which we certainly needed tonight. And closing remarks. Thanks again, Roger, for being with us. We have a cartoon we want to show at the end here. Maybe you remember a couple months ago we showed the first episode of Mugman. That my son and I have been working on. He's doing the animation, and he's like, what should he do now? And, of course, I have to come up with the most obscure things to make the thing work. So we're going to be showing you Mugman Gets in Shape right after our final notes here. Closing remarks. thanks to our wives who again put up with this stuff week after week after week.
I can hear my wife microwaving something to eat right now.
All right. Outstanding. Kathy Curden, our fantastic producer, Shelley Avellino for helping out in the chat room last week. Anthony was in the chat room this week doing a fabulous job getting those questions.
Thanks, man. Welcome back.
But apparently not keeping people in line. There was a lot of shouting in there tonight, apparently. Tim McKean for working on VoiceOver Essentials and Lee Pinney for getting all of those podcasts onto a pod platform. So there you go. All righty. So anyway, we're going to play a little Mugman, but in the meantime, we're going to say goodnight. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are, for the time being, East West Audio Body Shop. Good night, everybody. We'll see you a little later.
Bye.
From the Titanic, there. The Lusitania, the Andrea Doria, and as soon as I can find it, the Costa Concordia. Where am I going to find it? Guess I better check E Peninsula.
Hang on a second, I don't hear you. Just a second.
What? $50? That's really cheap. I don't have $50. I spent most of my money on these other ones. Maybe a nice walk will help me think.
Clean the garage.
Why?
Because I told you to.
No!
And it's filthy.
No!
What?
I'm not gonna do it. What about that guy over there?
Oh. Hey, you!
Me?
Yeah, you. Get over here.
Come on!
I'll give you $50 to clean out my garage.
Well, that's convenient. What is in this box?
You suck.
I gotta do something about my strength. How hard could it be? One arm. Oops. Well, I'm never going swimming again.
And stay out!
Well, that failed. I guess there's only one person who could help me out. My sister. Tiana?
What is it now, Mugman?
I really need your help. You're the strongest person I know, and I'm nothing but a weakling.
Yes, you are. You have the strength of an infant. Heck, an infant could probably take you out. What made you finally realize it?
These two guys made fun of me for not being able to clean out their garage!
What?
I'll have to explain that later. My point is that I need you to help get me in shape like you are. Look at me.
Well, I'll try. You can't stay weak like that forever. Here, come with me. Wow, look at you, Mugman. Oh. I forgot. What was it you wanted to get fit for again?
Oh, to clean out this guy's garage.
Not even a thank you.
I have returned!
Oh, look who came crawling back! Yeah!
Hey, look at that! Over
this,
there!
This looks pretty good!
Wait. You forgot to move the Mayan calendar.
Screw it, I'll just get Tiana to do it.
Is this the garage you were trying to clean? Why am I here? What is that doing in your garage?
Just push it, Tiana.
Fine. I've dealt with worse.
You moved everything. Here's your $50.
Hey, wait a minute. Why did she get it?
Because I don't like you. Now scram!
Mugman, I know you tried your hardest. We'll see ya. I don't need anything anyway.
Well, guess it's forever the incomplete collection.
What do you say?
Oh, thank you, Deanna.